Once again, it's a strange amount of work to get a show going. Welcome to Ask an Atheist, 206-420-0997. Again, that's our voicemail number, and it will be leaving us a voicemail, as unfortunately this week I still don't have a phone system. I'm running into a wall there, and in good open source fashion, when I can't find a product that does it, I have to make it myself. So I'm going to be doing a lot of coding this week. I'm going to be all coding mad. Joining me this week is Wes. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks.
Fantastic. And Becca, how are you doing?
Wonderful.
Great. Oh, boy. First and foremost, we have a new fundraiser coming up. Ask an Atheist presents Delivered from Dogma, a humorous and dramatic talk from co-creator Jeremy Whitman about transitioning from a fundamentalist upbringing to the life of a freethinker. Come support Ask an Atheist on April 30th at the Highline in Capitol Hill. The important night makes sure Ask an Atheist is sustained for future seasons. So this is another in-person fundraiser. It's at a new location, the Highline, which I've seen World in Inferno Friendship Society there a couple times. It's a really nice venue.
I've had really great experiences. Jeremy is an awesome comic.
Yeah.
Everything that he's done, I've had a ball at, so I can't wait for this.
And this is going to be a bit of a special show, because it's Jeremy's story. It's his, kind of his living after faith kind of thing. But, it's Jeremy, so he's up on stage, so I guarantee you you're going to laugh quite a bit. But for those of you who know Jeremy, or those of you who know Ask an Atheist, this is going to be a pretty personal and really entertaining night. More details will follow. Check out the Secular Seattle or Secular South Sound Meetup on Meetup. Go to the Ask an Atheist webpage, and there'll be information there. If you would like to talk to us this week, you can go to askanatheist.tv, click on the red button. We are watching the email, so you can keep an eye on it there. There's some fun stuff going on this week. Some fun stuff and some less fun stuff. Let's talk about some less fun stuff first. A study published in the Journal of Climate Dynamics shows that the odds of global warming being caused by natural fluctuations are less than 1 in 100 and are likely to be less than 1 in 1,000. McGill University physics professor Sean Lovejoy analyzed global temperature data from 1500 to the present to examine the natural hypothesis, which has been discredited by computer models and other studies. Lovejoy noted that the two most convincing arguments presented by deniers of anthropogenic climate change, the warming is natural in origin, and the computer models are wrong, are either directly contradicted by this analysis or simply do not apply to it.
So you're saying that these people are living in their own world?
Yeah, weird that happens.
Huh. You're just going to see more and more things that affirm it. I mean, this is not shocking.
Well, it's what does that leave them? God promised not to flood the world again?
You mean it's human caused?
Yeah, that's my favorite one. Also, the global warming on Mars is always a lot of fun. But I mean, at this point, anthropogenic climate change is... getting along the lines of as proved as evolution is. It's getting there. It's getting pretty close. Speaking in a relative scientific sense, of course.
It's getting to that point where it's just pretty silly to even deny it or even try to.
Well, if something came about that was in the opposite direction scientifically, that's whenever everybody should be like, really shocked. Otherwise, it's just like, yeah.
Right. Well, I think we'll be talking about that soon. Actually, we got fluoridation coming up soon, which I'm looking forward to. I thought we should mention that in passing, that science continues unabated. We have an email. This is Steve from the internet. On a number of occasions, I've engaged in conversations with religious folks about ethics and atheism. The problem I encounter most often is when I try to explain that religious morals aren't universal. Your average American Protestant is going to have a different moral outlook than your average Sunni Muslim in Pakistan. It seems obvious, but when I point this out, people will just point fingers and cry moral relativism, like I've contracted the plague. Why do people say moral relativism like it's a bad thing? How can I describe these ideas in such a way that people might actually think about it before simply slapping a baby eater label on it and walking away? I think I'm just going to go down the line on this. Go ahead and start, Becca.
For me, I think that he should give an example where moral relativism would be something that they would find themselves doing. I mean, for me, this is kind of a strange example, but it's the first one that pops to my mind, is, some people like certain things whenever they're in the bedroom. Other people don't.
Right.
If you engaged in those while you were in the bedroom with somebody who didn't want it, then that would be wrong.
Right.
Other people would enjoy it. And so that right there dictates what the person wants is what dictates what you should do.
I'm going to try and steal your line, saying that people are better than their books.
Yeah.
And first, second, what's wrong with the baby eater label?
I think you should come up with some examples. Probably the bedroom one, not the one to go with whenever you're talking to the Christians.
Possibly, yeah, yeah.
But there's other circumstances in life where I think that they could, you know, benefit from having an example.
Well, I hate to say it this way, but I mean, moral relativism is the order of the day, even in religious institutions. I mean, morality is relative. What is moral to humans is apparently not moral to God, or the other way around. Apparently, it's okay if God commits genocide. But the thing is this is essentially a argument from authority. I mean, basically, they're using Richard Nixon's line about God. It's moral if God does it. And that's what it comes down to. And you say, and morality by nature has to be flexible because situations are flexible. The data change, and your behavior has to change to meet the data.
And morals change over time.
Yeah.
What happened a century ago is definitely not happening now.
Well, absolutely. Okay, whenever you think about most people, you know, they don't want to be killed.
Right.
Therefore, yeah. You know, don't kill people. That's immoral. And so I think whenever you say moral relativism, they think that all of your morals, like every single one,
right,
are just up in the air and anything could happen and you could just kill
somebody. But I would
somebody.
Say even the murder thing might be relative, because what if somebody wants to die?
Well,
right?
I agree with that.
Okay.
But that's another one that if you brought it up, they'd be like, oh, well, you couldn't kill them. You know, I mean, for me, though, that's a good example of a situation where I'd be like, well, you know, I would want to help them.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I think moral relativism is where morality is. And
yeah.
that's what I would discuss, is that morals change to suit the situation.
Definitely.
But, you know, the basis of my morality is, you know, the most good for the most people, which remains pretty invariant. I mean, I guess I could say my morality isn't relative on that basis.
I've always just stuck with do whatever feels good, as long as it doesn't adversely affect another person.
Yeah, I think. Well, I think.
And helping people can definitely be in
yeah.
that feeling.
I think as you interact with every single person, you have this kind of fluid morality. And if they want you to do it and you want to do it, then you can do it. This
right,
is an accepted
right.
thing by both of you, and you're entering into this kind of moral contract with each other. and if either one of you isn't on the same page, then you can't do it. And,
sure.
You know.
So what do you think the morality of the chupacabra is? Just out of curiosity, a Texas couple has euthanized an animal it trapped on their property after local wildlife officials advised them it likely suffered from scabies and mange.
Ew.
Local news teams flocked to the town of Ratcliffe and aired footage of a gray quadruped named Chupi. I saw pictures of this. Yeah, I mean, it's this. It looks like somebody took a really old suitcase and put a face on it.
Did it have a dog collar with Chupi on it?
I don't know, Chupi.
Did they touch
Is this like
that?
A really weird version of Peanuts that we're talking about here? I mean, what's
Did they touch the mangy thing?
An Ohio State University wildlife specialist stated that the animal was 100% a raccoon, with everything about the animal, morphology, behavior, and vocalizations, exactly what one would see in raccoons.
Ah, science.
Yeah, science!
Taking the fun out of everything.
Well, I want to pose a hypothetical to you guys. So you're driving down the road, going to get some food or whatever. Like, you know, everybody does it. And there's an animal on the side of the road that's gray and, you know, kind of foaming at the mouth and unhappy about things. And your first thought is chupacabra, and you put it in your car and bring it home.
Bringing it in my car? No, I'm not bringing anything in my car.
Stop the car, get near
yeah.
it? What?
Think about it. You're driving down the road and you're...
No, my brain is too
Oh, let's bring that home!
My brain is too set on science, which is, that thing is dangerous.
Yeah, well, I don't think you necessarily need the scientific method to know that something that's going on the side of the road is necessarily dangerous. I would say stay as far away from that animal as possible. But then again, they got in the news, so what do I know?
My brother and I used to have this like little debate with each other. Like, if you saw something, you know, some strange animal carrying a knife and was just like, I'm going to kill you, or you saw another one next to it with glowing red eyes going, like, which one are you more afraid of? And we're like, glowing red eyes going, definitely.
Well, I mean, glowing red eyes would suggest that this is not a normal human, so they might have like laser beams or masonry vision or something. So you got to be careful there,
I suppose.
Don't
know.
Yeah.
That's the wild card.
I mean, because if you just got some guy with a knife going, "I'll cut you," and then somebody else going, "Rawr, rawr," my experience, the guy going, "Rawr," is too wrapped up in his own life to even know that you're in the room. So I think that would probably be okay.
That just comes back to the whole machine gun arms or laser beam eyes. Which one's better?
Oh, I don't even know. Okay, so speaking of crazy, a judge in Florida has denied a man's demand for an atheist attorney. Gustav Pothoff allegedly attacked his roommate Raymond Hernandez with a water glass and a butter knife, saying he thought Hernandez was Jesus. After rejecting the idea of an agnostic attorney, Pothoff argued that his human rights should grant him access to someone of his own kind. Before being led back to jail, Pothoff complained that his having to work with the assigned defender was a sacrilegious thing. Sorry. Now, there's a key detail I'm leaving out of this news story, because I want your mind to twang. And here's that key detail. This guy's a self-described atheist. Yes!
I have a question.
Okay.
I mean, he's an atheist,
right?
But he thought his roommate was Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, so much doesn't add up. I mean, what?
Well, I'm not going to play no true Scotsman.
No. But it gives us such a bad name. Like, because people, well, not only that, people will go to this and they're just like, he says he's an atheist, but he said he saw Jesus. You know, like,
right,
like,
right.
Like we're all harboring
obviously,
this.
But he believes in Jesus.
That would be hilarious if they use this as proof that atheists secretly believe that this crazy dude saw Jesus in his bedroom and attacked him with a butter knife.
I'm sure somebody's using this on a different radio show right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Wait, he attacked somebody with a butter knife and a water glass?
He threw the water glass.
Was this Eddie Murphy in The Golden Child? Didn't he do that?
I have the knife.
The knife. Yeah, that was a better movie than
it was really cute.
It was fine. This is a good one.
It is bad for us.
Well, there's another thing here is, you know, for me, he's asking for special treatment because all these other people who are of different religions have public defenders who defend them, and they don't have their religions represented. And it's the public defender's, like, duty to not have his own beliefs interfere with how he represents his client.
My first take would be to agree with you, but we do live in a society where it's just sort of assumed that most people believe, and that, you know, law has more to do with politics than it does science. So a lot of lawyers talk religious talk when it's necessary. Is that really a special dispensation?
Well, no, I just meant like he's already been offered the agnostic. That's
right.
Taking a step that they wouldn't normally take if it was a Muslim or you know, any other religion, a Sikh, you know?
Yeah, fair enough. Well, I don't think he's got a leg to stand on here.
No.
I thought
the little branch, the olive branch they offered of the agnostic.
Yeah, we got an agnostic guy. Is that cool?
Yeah, that's something. They just tried.
Yeah.
And then he throws out sacrilege.
Sacrilege, like, which is what?
I think he's throwing it out there just to
I think this,
mess with them.
Okay, is this guy messing with him, or is he
criminally
actually
insane?
Just nuts? Yeah. Or is he messing with them for fun? Is he actually nuts, or is he doing like that guy from MASH? Is he just trying to get out of trouble by pretending he's crazy?
Do I think he's Klinger? No, but maybe he's trying to set up an insanity defense by just putting this all
which
out
would be
there.
Great for us, wouldn't it?
It'd be interesting.
Well, did he say the Jesus thing whenever he was still in the apartment, or did he just claim it afterwards? You know?
Yeah, who knows? I mean, I got to say that this story bothers me because, you know, when a Christian does this, nobody says, oh, those, you know, they say that guy's crazy. But now that he's identified as an atheist, they're going to go, atheists are crazy, because that's how that works when you're a small population.
And some people are.
And that's exactly the point
every
here.
Every single
demographic. We're not saying that this guy, and this is something that religious people could take a page from us from, is we're not saying this guy isn't an atheist.
No.
He identifies as an atheist, so okay. I'm going
Very
to say
well.
He's an atheist. He's a member of my tribe, if you will. But he's still nuts. And if he's proven guilty in the court of law, he still attacked his roommate.
Right, he's criminal.
With a water glass and a butter knife. I'm never going to get over that. That's like, you're in the, it's the weirdest Zork ever. You're in the kitchen. you need to attack somebody. What do you grab? There's an electric knife. There's a crock pot. There's a cast iron pan, a butter knife, and a water glass. What do you take?
Pick two.
Water glass!
Yeah.
You're like, here's this glass of water. Throw the water on the floor.
Well,
Walk on the water.
That it just slammed against, like, the wall next to the guy.
Right,
like,
right.
As a warning shot. I'm coming at you, bro.
Fair enough.
Bet he was just a bad aim.
Oh boy. So we have some more news, and this is out of Pakistan. The lawyer for a Pakistani man accused of blasphemy via Facebook has been threatened by five people over 48 hours. Among those who allegedly threatened Rashid Rehman, counsel for Waneed Hafiz, were two prosecuting attorneys. The case was earlier shifted to a special court due to death threats to judges, lawyers, and the suspect. Hafiz, a professor, is awaiting trial for posting images of Muhammad online. Two previous defenders withdrew from the case last year after death threats.
And there was a little bit more. Some of these threats have been done in front of the judges themselves, towards the lawyers.
So it's not like somebody...
No.
This is something that we see in the atheism movement. Somebody says something mildly, you know, controversial, and then the torrent of Twitter and Facebook messages with death threats and stuff just start coming in. This was in a court.
Yeah. They said that it was done in front of the judge, and they're trying to seek, you know, quick... resolution of this.
What
but they're not even bringing them to trial or anything.
What did the judge do?
Nothing. Literally nothing. Like, at least that's
I'm going to kill you in the face. And the judge is like, doop, doop.
That sounds reasonable to me.
Yeah, what the hell?
Also, the guy says that he didn't even do this. Like, he didn't actually do the crime that somebody's trying to do it because he got the job instead of them. Like, some new
job.
Oh,
got it. Okay.
Well, even so, I mean, aren't these trails usually more like just a formality that he's pretty much just going to be guilty anyways? So why does it really matter if they have a faux trial or not?
I know in some places that's true. Is that true in Pakistan?
I would think so.
I don't know. Pakistan sort of goes back and forth. I mean, it's a really uneven country as far as that goes, as far as I can tell from the news. So,
I mean, is this a Sharia court?
That's a good question. It does not say. If you know, you can contact us at askanatheist.tv and click on the shiny red candy-like button. But here's... This I didn't know. That these threats were happening in the courtroom.
Yeah.
And
in front of the judge.
They just stand up and shout it?
Yeah.
That's what they made it out to seem as though it was...
Yeah.
You know, like it was just shouted in the court.
This has something to do with a larger point we're making today, which we will get back to after the break. We're going to be talking about more prisons and stuff like that. Should be a lot of fun. This is Ask an Atheist, 206-420-0997. We will be back after the break.
Secular humanism is a non-theistic view of the universe built on a foundation of reason, science, and democracy. Humanists support intellectual freedom and critical thinking, and we hold that human beings are autonomous centers of moral development. The Humanists of Washington is the oldest humanist organization in the state and offers a community of free thinkers who educate the public and celebrate life. For information on how you can be a part of the humanist activities in the Puget Sound area, become a member of the Humanists of Washington today. Visit humanistsofwashington.org.
Looking to buy or sell a home or other property in Edmonton, Alberta, or surrounding areas? Demand a professional and call Don Summers of Professional Realty Group at 780-237-4718 or visit dndrealty.ca and discover how he works with you to achieve your goals, save you time, and protect your investment. Don Summers of Professional Realty Group. It's time you hired a professional.
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Casey Doran.
And we host a podcast called Radio Versus the Martians. We invite a rotating panel of our friends over to talk about science fiction, comic books, movies, horror, animation, professional wrestling, video games, and George freaking Lucas.
It's a warts and all look at popular geek culture, where we tip sacred cows and use profanity while arguing about children's entertainment.
Think of it as the McLaughlin Group for nerds.
Find us online at RadioVersusTheMartians.com.
I'm the Queen of England. You must give me your lunch money.
Why?
Because it will explode.
I don't know.
I'm the Queen of England. I know things.
Well, that makes sense. Here you go.
Wait, Billy. Just because an authority says it doesn't make it true.
come to Camp Quest Northwest, where you'll learn critical thinking and science in a fun-filled week-long nature camp.
No!
Camp Quest Northwest can be found at campquestnorthwest.org. Donations and volunteers accepted. The devil is not real.
I'm melting!
So you're on your Monday morning drive, and someone on Ask an Atheist says something that really, really gets your goat. You want to talk, you want to yell, you want to scream, and clicking the shiny red candy-like button just isn't good enough. Good! Call us! Leave us a message! Call Ask an Atheist at 206-420-0997 and vent your spleen now and for the future! That's 206-420-0997 and wait for the tone.
If you enjoy the programming we create on Ask an Atheist, please make a contribution with us. Your sponsorship keeps our show in the air and improves the quality of our broadcasts. Don't make us beg. Please go to askanatheist.tv and contribute today.
Welcome back to Ask an Atheist. This is 206-420-0997. Gotta make sure I get the number right. So we have a person to thank this week. I would like to thank Josh from Everywhere.
Yay, Josh.
For meeting Peggy's challenge this week. Peggy's challenge is the challenge to the listeners of Ask an Atheist to help keep the show going. About 40% of the funding for the show comes from advertising. The rest of it comes from tips from you guys. So if you'd like to help us out, you can go to askanatheist.tv and click on the contribute to the show button. Every dollar you give goes to show directly to show production. And here's a fun one. This is Gordon from San Francisco who writes, I just listened to the Dungeons & Dragons segment from a previous show. Have you ever noticed how much Christians sound like they are playing D&D when they describe their powers, the powers of their god? So I'm a little bit familiar with D&D. I don't know about you guys.
I've played.
Oh, you've played?
Yeah, I played. I was more into vampires than, or my friends were more into vampires than D&D.
I just read the rule books.
Read the rule books?
Yeah. I thought they were fascinating and fun to learn about.
What did you find from them?
That cybernetics are awesome.
Wait, there was cybernetics in D&D?
Well, riffs.
Oh, okay.
I used to love studying, you know, magic and tech. That's what got me.
Well, yeah, I have to admit that I'm more of a science fiction player than anything else. But yeah, I've played a fair bit of D&D, and I'll be honest with you, I mean, is it people describing God, you know, aping from D&D, or is it D&D taking a page from religions and, you know, going from there? I kind of wonder.
I kind of think they have all that whole chick track thing going on, that they've seen all those horrible books about chick tracks or any other weird little book that they have out there, and they just like the idea that their God is a much greater God than that, and they can pull from that and
ideas. Whenever I was playing, you know, everybody loves their character. They're like, oh my gosh, listen to my character. It's the best. And I mean, it's the same thing whenever you're talking about your God. You're just like, oh, but he does this and he does this. Oh, did you? And, you know, whenever they post things on Facebook, they're just like, oh, this is just amazing. And, you know,
my God hit epic level last night and can now turn fluids into other fluids. Yeah, it was it's a bit weird.
Water.
Plus 3D charisma. Yay.
But I mean, maybe, but we like stories. We love mythology, as, you know, generally people do. I love my stories. I like my Doctor Who and you know, my Robotech was the RPG I played a lot of. It makes sense to me that people would talk about the mythologies of their religions the same way that I would talk about the mythologies that I pay attention to, with one difference. I don't think it's real. I don't think Gallifrey is out there in the heavens somewhere.
I think when you're playing D&D, there's an aspect sometimes whenever you kind of get really into your role and you draw pictures of yourself as the character and stuff like that. You really want to embody it, and the more you embody the thought that you actually are that character, the better you play.
But that's acting. That's something you train to do, and part of acting is learning when to do that and learning when not to do that, I think, is an important part of that.
Well, there's a lot of religious
people from, they're trained from very early on that the act is always going on.
That's true.
There's a lot of religious people that are into their theatrics, though.
Oh, yeah.
Very much so.
Yeah. You were talking about Christian Side Hug earlier.
Oh.
Some of my favorites, those big muscly guys who rip baked phone books in half as, you know, look what God is letting me do. I love that. I mean, it's a good show. I like vaudeville.
Yeah.
But you know who's I've been paying a lot of attention to, and I've mentioned this on the show before, that's like that, but they actually believe it? I mean, you can say that people describe God like a D&D character, but I've been paying attention to the Sovereign Citizen movement because I think I'm going to be doing an episode on it. These are a branch of conspiracy theorists who believe that the U.S. government has been subverted, and by saying magic thing or by saying specific words in the court of law or signing your name in a specific way or writing checks in a specific way or filling out tax forms in a certain way or not filling out certain forms, they can manipulate parts of this subverted government into working for them to the point where some of them think that if they do it right, like the government will give them millions of dollars.
So if they don't dot the I or cross their T, they might get a big tax refund?
Exactly that. Or they do like a slash in between their name. You know, they have this idea that there's like this straw man person who's actually a slave of the government. But the thing is, it's an incredibly decentralized movement. But the one thing they have in common is that it's like they're Harry Potter or D&D for where some people would talk about magic and gods and spirits. These people are all lawyers and documents and constitutions and stuff like that. It's magical thinking with bureaucracy. It is the weirdest thing I've seen in quite some time. And it's an increasingly active and occasionally violent subculture.
As a government employee, I can tell you that we don't want to work any harder than we have to. There is nobody in an office that is like, okay, he put a slash. You know, let's give him a big check.
Yeah.
There's nobody paying attention to stuff like that.
It's just a strange thing, and I'm looking forward to doing a show on it. So we have some more news. We have Randall Jackson, an atheist incarcerated in Missouri, has won a legal victory against his correctional center after he was denied probation because he was refused to participate in a religious substance abuse program where staff suggested he pretend the word God stood for good and orderly direction whenever he was coerced to pray. The Eighth Circuit Appeals Court ruled that a district court erred when it dismissed Jackson's lawsuit claiming First Amendment violations. The appeals court ruled that Jackson does have the right to be free from unconstitutional burdens when availing himself of existing ways to access early parole. That's a weird one. So we have this thing, you know, this First Amendment thing, this no establishment of religion. And I understand that in certain situations, you know, when you're incarcerated, when you've broken the law, your rights are curtailed. But the First Amendment, it seems to me, wouldn't necessarily apply to the inmate, but to everybody else, because this would be an establishment of religion.
Well, it's separation of church and state. You can't.
Right.
I mean, they're still the people who are actually the law enforcement officers aren't, you know, no longer subject to the Constitution.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
They can't go and inject religion into whatever they want just because they're inmates. You know.
It seems like prisons are the one place in America where people sort of look the other way for violations of the separation of church and state.
In the army as well, sometimes. I mean,
But I think in the atheist community, we've gotten really up on when, like, Fort Bragg did that thing. Like, we talk about it, we made a big deal of it on the show, but how many of us are talking about prison populations?
Well, I think a lot of this has to do with most of our prisons are run by private companies now.
Yeah.
That, you know, they just don't have to. They don't feel like they have to follow the rules like a government institution would.
Well, I don't know if that's what they... I don't know if that's because they're private institutions. It seems to me that this getting God while you're in prison, making you a better person, sort of socially manipulating the judge to give you early parole, that seems to transcend the prison as industry model.
Well, it's also kind of something that just is rampant through any type of substance abuse. I mean, like, whenever you have AA, like, they don't tell you before you go in, oh, this is just riddled with religion, you know?
Right. And there are people,
and
I
it's
know,
a good time to take advantage of people whenever they're weaker and
yeah, like this is bullying and victimizing behavior, even though it is amongst a population that may have bullied and victimized themselves. That doesn't necessarily make it right, and it is definitely
think they're stripped of their rights and they're stripped of their identity.
But it doesn't that doesn't suddenly mean that the First Amendment doesn't apply globally. I mean, because saying you must be Christian to get early parole, that's a religious established. I think it's a. I mean, okay, granted, I'm not a Supreme Court judge, but that one seems pretty cut and dried to me.
Yeah, I have to agree with you.
Well, atheists, what is it, 0.07%?
Yeah, there was a study recently that said 0.0% of the population is in the prison population is atheists. And I think people have been looking at the wrong end of that sometimes. Is yes, the prison populations are majority religious and majority Christian because that's the kind of country that we live in. But 0.7% of the population is atheist. There are, in fact, atheists who break the law. There are atheists who have committed crimes and are in prison serving sentences for them.
A couple of them.
Sometimes
they use butter knives.
Sometimes they use butter knives. Sometimes they use glasses of water. It's, and that's something, but my point is we're willing to talk about the military. We're, as a movement, we seem less willing to go into places where people have done something wrong. And sometimes I think the atheism movement could learn a little bit about, you know, forgiving people about that sort of thing in the service of trying to make the world better for people who don't believe globally. And it just seems like we could be doing, and I'm bringing myself up. I mean, I'm just as bad, if not worse, than most other.
Well, I'm
folks.
Wondering, I'm sure there are other stories, but, you know, how often do they bubble up? This one has bubbled up to the top.
Yeah.
But because it's such a small percent of the population.
I know the AHA does have prison chaplains in not necessarily in their employ, but I know they've been registered. But you were saying something about prison systems and atheism and humanism.
That's actually on another one of these.
Oh, which one is that? Well,
so a prison outreach program would be an excellent thing.
No, humanist sues for recognition in federal prisons.
Ah, yes. The American Humanist Association is suing the Federal Bureau of Prisons on behalf of humanist Jason Holden. Holden is barred from forming a humanist study group because the Federal Correctional Institution of Sheridan, Oregon has only grants the privilege to members of official religious assignment options. The AHA's suit details how inmates are never permitted to assemble in groups greater than four during recreation, but religious study groups exceeding this number are permitted. Yeah, and I know I pronounced the state wrong.
How about getting some Pastafarian action going?
That seems like such a get out, though, in this case.
It does,
well, the thing is, in this circumstance, atheist is one of the official religious assignment options, and they don't allow them to gather in the same manner. They're. It's the one group that's not allowed.
Whoa.
And so
they have a reason? Do they have a stated reason, or it's just atheists?
Well, they're being sued for that reason.
Yeah, okay. But
they're being sued because, it's...
Are they just saying that that's how we're doing it, and you just got to live with it? Or do they say because atheists are horrible human beings?
I didn't see a stated reason, but okay. I did see that that's part of this lawsuit is that, you know, atheist is listed, but it's not allowed to gather in this manner. And then they're also trying to get humanists included on the list.
But
when we talk about chaplains, we talk about, hospital visitation and counseling and stuff like that. But this is another aspect of being a chaplain, is going to prisons and being the representative of your mode of thought to inmates. And this goes back to what I was saying in the last news story. This is just something we don't talk about. And I really feel like maybe this is something we should pay attention to, because there are gross violations of the First Amendment here, and they're just ignored for the most part by the community. I mean, maybe we're starting to pick up on it. Maybe there's groups of people who are working on it. If you are a member of one of those groups, please go to askanatheist.tv. I would love to talk to you about this. I'd love to do a show specifically about that. But, you know,
it's good that it's on the AHA's radar. You
know, yes, definitely.
They're in there doing this.
Yeah. But it just seems like as a community, we could be doing a little bit more. I mean, we live in Washington State, where one people in one person in four, somewhere around there in that ballpark, doesn't believe in a specific religion, in which case there's got to be a significant population of non-believers in the prison system here. Not numerically significant, if not necessarily statistically significant. I'm using it in the English sense, not the scientific sense. Stop giving that look.
Well, there are probably more here than there are in Oklahoma.
Than there are in Oklahoma. So it seems like that's something we could be doing. I you know, maybe people don't want to go to prisons because it's kind of scary because there are bad people there, but they're in prisons. That's what it's for. And sometimes it's necessary to make people better. I don't know. It's all weird, but I think we should pay attention to society in total sometimes. This is Ask an Atheist, 206-420-0997. I'm going to go a break, and when we come back, we're going to do some emails and talk about getting an honorary degree from a university.
Need a break from the theistic world?
Live in the Seattle area?
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Whether you're an ardent non-believer, steadfast agnostic, or marauding Pastafarian, check out the award-winning nonprofit organization Seattle Atheists.
Socialize at the Third Thursday Meetup, attend lectures, come camping, donate blood.
Connect at seattleatheists.org.
Seattle Atheists, we believe in you.
Out of the briny depths of the internet comes a comic book podcast so powerful it cannot be contained by a single continent. Mike and Paul, save the universe!
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Paul Rudd.
If you're an unsatisfied comics fan, we want to help you find better comics.
And if you've never picked up a comic before in your life, we want to help you find what could be your new favorite thing.
On Mike and Paul Save the Universe, we love the bejesus out of comics, and so should you.
Find us online at mikeandpaul.com.
Tacoma Telematics wants to help you connect with your clients. We can give you a top-notch web presence. Tacoma Telematics can take your website to the next level and make it an essential part of your business marketing, but that's not all. Want VoIP? We've got it, bringing large corporation phone systems capability at mom-and-pop prices. We build intuitive interfaces to help you manage your resources quickly and efficiently. Take advantage of our holistic approach to make your business communications succeed effortlessly. At Tacoma Telematics, we're committed to personal and professional integrity, open communication, and long-term relationships. See us at TacomaTelematics.com.
Ask an Atheist may have gone on the road, but we're not making big bucks.
We still need to keep the lights on, and 95% of our costs are for airtime alone.
That's why we need your contributions.
If you've got something to advertise, consider Ask an Atheist in your ad budget.
Our listener Peggy said it best. Step up and contribute to keep secular voices on the air. For $5, you could have a latte or a moment of science.
Take on Peggy's challenge and contribute today.
For details, go to askanatheist.tv or contribute directly via PayPal to paypal@askanatheist.tv.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 206-420-0997. That is our voicemail. If you'd like to contact us live in the studio, you should go to our website and leave us a message. If you'd like to get together, if you're in Tacoma and you'd like to get together with us after the show today, we're going to be at the Harmon Tap Room starting at 5. It's a nice day, nice sunny out here, and they've got a beer garden, so we're going to be out there. Should be a lot of fun. So you got a couple more emails here. Our first one comes to us from Scott from St. Louis, and he writes, I went to Christmas service a while ago with my in-laws, and the reading including Psalm 96, the New International Version and others, verse 4. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. Huh? I thought he was just the only God. Now there are more than one and he's just the one and we're supposed to listen to him? Well done, psalm writers. This is something I'm a little soft on. I have to admit, this is not a function of history that I'm well read on. But my understanding is that they're not monotheists. They don't, something like that.
For me, what I thought, what what I took from it was, you know, that there are other religions.
Right.
And I feel like this is saying our religion is above all of the other religions. Like, right now, if you asked other Christians...
We have the best brand of toothpaste!
Well, right, no, if you ask them, you know, what do you think of Buddhism? They'd just be like, well, it's wrong. You know, they don't say Buddhism doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that's, you know...
Well, way back in the day, I mean... When they were out in the desert, they were worshiping golden calves. There were other gods,
right?
And El or Elohim was just one of many. So
okay.
There are many other.
Yeah,
gods
I don't think
there
was ever a denial that there were other gods.
Now I'm pulling directly from Snow Crash here, but I remember that in the book, which is fictional, so I may be completely off base. That it was that they believed that other gods existed, but none of them they were like fake gods. They were
just lesser gods.
Lesser gods. They weren't the creator of the universe, and that their particular god was the only one that was worth being worshipped. I feel like Becky would know about this. This is sort of her wheelhouse, isn't it?
I always understood that El was just a desert djinn, just a localized god himself.
No.
It just spread.
It's the story. You know, you're a little bit underground. Not everybody's heard of you. And then you get your breakout album or your breakout miracle or your breakout genocide. And then suddenly everybody's worshiping you and you get your, you know, you do your world tour. And
then you're Biebs.
Yeah. Yeah, indeed. So Vegar from the southeast of Norway. Isn't that in the water? Do you live in Sealand? Is that where you live? No, wait, that's not near Norway. After a long speech from a believer about why I should believe the nonsense in the sky, I made a sharp counterpoint. I asked the believer simply, what would you get by telling me this? The more you tell me about how I am going to hell for not believing, the more you make your God sound like a huge jerk. Why would I follow somebody like that? In school, I was told to not follow people like that. Your thoughts? I'll go down the line again. Go ahead, Becca.
Well, just because you were told that in school doesn't mean... I think it's kind of a silly reason. Like, well, I was taught in school that we weren't supposed to do such and such.
Right.
But, you know, it's not a... It is a something that a lot of people say. It's not something that would come out of my mouth. But, I mean,
right.
Yeah, your God does sound like a jerk, you know? Like,
right.
If you're going to send people to hell because they're nice people, but they just didn't believe, that's kind of a jerk move.
Well, that's why they have there's an apologetics. There's an entire strain of brain wrestling that was created specifically for answering problems like this.
Not a thing that I like. I mean, yeah, I see where you're coming from. I mean, why would you want to be friends with a person that treats you so badly?
Yeah, yeah. I'm going back to media again. Now I'm thinking I, Claudius, where John Hurt is Caligula. And, you know, do you think that the gods are free from morality? Oh, yeah, Zeus, you know, ate his children, did horrible stuff, married his sister. Nah, he's fine. It's only humans that have morality. And we don't say that, but I don't think that kind of thinking has ever been, you know, excised from religion. Morality doesn't apply to the person who's writing the morality. It's weird. You're writing these rules. It's like, it's do as I say, not as I do, which religious people tell you not to do, but the folks who are in charge of them get a pass. And that makes me curious now and again. I don't understand why that is. It seems like if you're going to invent a rule set, you ought to live by it.
That's the whole God works in mysterious ways thing that, you know, you don't have to. I mean, he can do all this horrible stuff and it doesn't matter because, well, you know, it's not for you
to
understand.
Well, it's sort of like whenever, you know, people ask, you know, whenever I was asked if I thanked the Lord after my house was destroyed, you know, it's just like, what? You know, a lot of people were like, why didn't you say, oh, why would I do that? You know, it's that wouldn't come out of my mouth. That's just not the way I attack arguments. But it isn't an unreasonable thing to ask.
Yeah, I think so. So we have another news story. Officials confiscate Bibles in Malaysia to prevent apostasy. Officials from the Malay state of Selangor are supporting the Islamic Department's seizure of 300 Bibles from the Bible Society of Malaysia over the use of the word Allah in the translations. State opposition leader Datuk Shamsuddin said all assemblymen were in full support of the actions because it had saved Muslims from being misled by devious teachings.
Bum, bum, bum.
He also stated that the onus falls entirely on the Bible Society to show their determination and desire to recover the confiscated Bibles. A 2010 census shows that Selangor is 58% Muslim, nearly a quarter Buddhist, a fifth from other religions, and 0.4% non-religious. In a country where residents must register their religions with the state, the court has received no applications for those leaving Islam in the last 10 years.
Why would they want to register that they're leaving Islam? Isn't that apostasy, which is punishable by death?
Yeah, who's going to do it?
Right, yeah. Me, I want to die. Me. Yeah, no, this is weird. And this is bad. This is...
I mean, they're just getting rid of free speech.
This is the end of free speech. This is what happens.
Let's go burn the books.
Right. This is what happens when you have state religion or state entanglement of religion. And this is what persecution looks like, Christians. This is what it is. This is persecution. This is something we should all be talking about how terrible it is and the kind of effects it has on civilization. You know, Christians are persecuted, just not here. For the most part, and not in the ways that they're talking about in the media. You know, where
they're not put to death.
I think they're jerks. We have a population of people who think that limiting the civil rights of others is something that they should be allowed to do, and when they're not allowed to do that, that is persecution. These are people who think that because we have a radio show and we're saying what we are saying, even though they have their own satellite networks and their own cable channels and their own radio stations and television stations, I'm persecuting them. But
1,000 to 1, the ratio of like one atheist show to 1,000 of theirs,
persecuted. Even if it was one atheist show and one Christian show, even if we took the equality on that level, it's still not persecution.
They want you to not be on the air.
Yeah, they want me not on the air.
But we're not trying to say you can't be on the air.
Exactly. This, taking people's Bibles away because they don't like the translation and saying, you got to work to get them back, and by the way, you might get killed, that's kind of persecution. I mean, that's what persecution looks like.
They're not wrong that they will be preventing some form of apostasy because, you know, they're limiting your ability to have free thought.
Absolutely. And free thought, and that's another point, free thought supports religion. Just as much. I mean, when you have free thought, you're allowed to be religious. That's what we're aiming for here. I think it's a bad idea, but you're allowed. And I wouldn't take that right away from anybody.
Yeah, we're atheists arguing why Bibles shouldn't have been taken away.
Yeah, no, I want everybody to have a Bible because, man, read that thing. It's weird. I mean, it's
read that on acid.
Wow. Okay. So there's a sort of a story in the room that everybody's been talking about this week. After an outcry by Muslim student groups, Brandeis University has withdrawn its plan to give an honorary social justice degree to feminist and fierce critic of Islam, Ayaan Hirsi Ali. Born a Muslim in Somalia and forced by her family to undergo genital mutilation at the age of 5, Hirsi Ali wrote the screenplay To Submission, a film decrying the treatment of women under Islam. The film's director, Theo Van Gogh, was murdered by a Muslim fundamentalist who pinned a note to the victim's shirt, threatening Hirsi Ali's life as well. Brandeis released a statement saying that Hirsi Ali is a compelling public figure and advocate for women's rights, but that it feels that it cannot reconcile an honorary degree with her strong statements in opposition to Islam. What wimps.
Wow. Okay, I remember just a couple of days ago, David Silverman released a statement because he was actually a student, graduated from Brandeis himself.
Yeah.
And boy, he ripped them.
Well, he's good at that. Yeah. If I remember right, he was saying, I'm not giving money to you guys anymore. I'm going to tell people I'm leaving the alumni association. I'm going to suggest other people that they don't give money to the university and they seek education opportunities elsewhere. He was like, I am done with you people. And that's the right call. Yeah. I really think. I mean, it's just this weird thing. Bad things happen to her. And
many bad things have happened to her.
And she talks about them and she suggests that the bad thing that happened to her was the result of the society that she lives in and the prevailing superstition of the society that she lives in. And that makes her a bad person. The Muslim groups at Brandeis University were saying that Hirsi Ali advocates for genocide of Muslims. That was the thing. And I wanted to. That was sort of the centerpiece of all of this. genocide. I mean, we have...
I have never heard that brought up once.
There was some interview she was on where she said that we should respond in any way against Islam, including militarily. And somebody said, well, that means we should kill Muslims, or we should kill all Muslims. Not necessarily. When we have countries like Saudi Arabia on this earth, which believe themselves to be the representatives of a religion, and they have an armed forces, and they use those armed forces, and they do kill people in their own country for following another religion, I would say that particular religion has a military aspect. And I would say that historically and currently, Christianity does as well. Maybe once upon a time in the Soviet Union, maybe even atheism did, but that's a little bit wishy-washy. The problem with the Soviet Union wasn't that they were atheists. They had their dogmas, too. But they're saying we should respond in all ways militarily. We should call that genocide. Genocide? No. Yeah, let's talk about genocide. Do we want to talk about the Kurds? I mean, seriously?
I mean, war is war.
Do we want to talk about some of the bad stuff that happened in the Ottoman Empire? Do we want to?
Do we want to go Godwin and talk about the?
There is no Godwin's law in my house. Yeah, there's Hitler. Let's go Hitler.
Yeah,
it goes all over the place.
That's genocide,
and people should be against that. And I think that the Muslim student groups who are against Hirsi Ali, they're complaining against the wrong person. They should be complaining about the folks in Somalia who are mutilating the genitals of people. That creates a situation that Hirsi Ali must fight. That's where you should be paying attention. But there's I'm not asking you to accept the blame. If you're not in Somalia and you're not perpetrating that, you're not to blame. And I'm not suggesting that you take the blame. But because you're a member of that population, you should take responsibility for that and say, yes, those are my people. They're doing something bad, but we're not those people. Just like today in our show, where we're going down a number of stories about atheists in prison, atheists who are trying to be atheists in prison. We're not saying they're not humanists. We're not saying they're not atheists. We're owning them. If they break the law, they broke the law, and we should own that. We want to, especially here at Ask an Atheist, we want to show you the atheism community, warts and all. We want to show you the bad things that atheists sometimes do. Show me a religious show that will do that.
I want to take it back for an example. Christians should be able to claim the Westboro as their own,
and
either work with them to bring them more in line,
right,
or distance themselves from that group. Muslims should be able to do the same for all of these other sects and factions out there also.
And just because you guys both use the same noun doesn't mean that you're to blame for them. In fact, if you would just stop worrying about the blame and start worrying about your possible responsibilities in trying to keep these things under control, you wouldn't be in trouble, nobody would hate you, and maybe you would make your end of the pool look a little nicer and have a little less poop in it.
Well, I think it's actually good whenever atheists acknowledge that these people are also part of our group, because there's often a tendency for every atheist a lot of atheists to just assume all atheists are humanists, and they'll say, well, atheists don't think this, atheists think that. And it's like, no, there are atheists who think all over the spectrum.
Yeah.
Like, there are some who are even upset whenever you say they're a humanist, and they're like, I'm not a humanist, I hate this group, and blah, blah,
it's
blah, you know?
It is funny though how many times I'm not a humanist, I hate humanism, and then I read them the Humanist Manifesto or the major points of the Humanist Manifesto, and I clearly have my Humanists of Washington hat on right now, and they're fine with every one of them. They just don't like the label humanist, and guess what? I'm okay with that. That's fine. If you don't want to call yourself a humanist, then don't. But just as long as we're kind of in the same place morally, I'm cool with that.
Yeah, I think it's also good for us to own the spectrum. I mean,
I think so too.
It's just a denial of your own people if you try to pretend they don't exist. Sweep that under the carpet.
I understand. Trust me, I understand the desire to want to put your best foot forward in situations like this. I mean, this crazy guy in Florida with his butter knife and his water glass saying that somebody's Jesus. He calls himself an atheist. I know what kind of effect that's going to have on me, because atheists atheists are a minority population.
Well, I feel
the same as Muslims. Muslims are a minority population in the United States. So they get a lot of heat that they don't deserve. I'm completely cognizant of that, and I think we should be more cognizant of that. But that doesn't mean that when somebody says Islam is bad because of what it did to me and what it does to other people, that they're calling for genocide. There's sort of a bunker mentality that happens here, and it happens among atheists just as much as anybody else.
That's
and
just I think we have
to be human.
Yeah, it's just human, and I think we have to be careful of it.
That's just trying to napalm everything.
Like, oh. Yeah, it's...
There's a spider in the house. Let's burn it to the ground.
That's sort of a baby bathwater thing, I suppose. Yeah, it's necessary, I think, if we're going to accurately portray the atheism community, that it's necessary to say not every atheist is a cool dude. You know, it's like...
Well,
it's
I found myself doing that a lot whenever I... You know, there were times in Oklahoma where I felt comfortable enough telling somebody that I was atheist, but I was kind of like, I don't know where they fall. Yeah. I think they might be. And so I would often bring up that other spectrum, that other side of atheists. Like, I know that, you know, there are people who do crazy stuff on, but I don't find myself as one of those.
Right.
You know.
Well,
I felt often that I had to bring up that exists. Like, I had to acknowledge it right at the beginning. Like, hey, I know that they exist.
I find myself increasingly acknowledge that I believe a lot of things that people think crazy atheists believe. Like, you know, wait, so you're one of those atheists who think that religion is ultimately destructive? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I am. That is the kind of person I am. But I don't think I'm always going to achieve my goals by screaming. That's not, you know, that's not my modality. I mean, I like screaming. Screaming's fun. But I don't want to do it all the time.
Well, right. Well, that's also a stereotype that the angry atheist is just
right.
walking around angry all the time, too. They're just like, rah, rah, rah.
Yeah, but you know, they do have a reason to be angry sometimes. This is the thing, is the interface with religious people and atheism is mostly when people are hurt by religion and are leaving religion, yeah. Which means that they're going to be in their angry phase. I mean, it's
most angry atheists are just sitting around a bar having beers with their friends.
That's what I'm talking about. Is that
and we're not even particularly angry.
When you're not talking about religion, you're like, okay.
Nice callback. If you want to come and have a drink with us in an hour, you can go to the Harmon Tap Room here in Tacoma. And that's all the time we've got for today. My name is Sam Olvey. With me today was Rebecca Witzman and Wes Benetti. And you can go to our website at askanatheist.tv. You can give us a voicemail at 206-420-0997. You can email us at questions@askanatheist.tv. I promise I'll have phones next week. I promise. I'll probably be posting on the blog about that. See you guys next week.
Love you.